Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Welcome to Beneath the Surface, where faith and reason meet, here on WCAP 980 AM, where everybody gets it, delving beneath the surface each week on a topic important to you. And we are here tonight and every Monday night until 11 p.m., bringing a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. So tonight, my fellow truth seekers, we have a special treat. A special treat. And they are sitting right in front of me. Tonight we go beneath the surface on the topic of single women in a secular world. Yes, you heard it right. Our topic tonight on Beneath the Surface is single women in a secular world. What is it like being female and navigating... They just laughed at me. Let me get through the sentence before I introduce you. What is it like being female and navigating oneself through the shallow... hills and deep valleys of our secular materialist world? I will not tell you, but three intelligent, beautiful, single women are right here in the studio, ready to tell you of their experience. Let me introduce them to you right now. Laurie is an account manager. She is single, and she...
Looking.
She is looking. Thank you for that. First of all, before I even get introduced the rest of you, is it safe to say, I think everyone's trying to form a mental picture here, is it safe to say that you folks are 40 or older? And I don't want to offend you. I just want to just get this out on the table.
It's safe to say that.
At least 40. Okay, good.
Yes.
So there you go. So three... wonderful single women. Laurie, get your voice out there again.
Hi, everyone. I'm Laurie.
What's it like being Laurie?
I've been Laurie for at least 40 years.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Life is good. Life is good, LG.
Yes, 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 yes. Life is good. All right, so to her left and to my right is Teresa. And by the way, I'm withholding the last names to protect the innocent tonight. Teresa is also an account manager, coincidentally.
Wow.
And Teresa is single, and she want to say anything else about yourself?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
It's a secret.
But I will.
It's a secret. Now, you get that? Fantabulous. Okay, and to your left and to my right is Mary. Mary is a registered nurse. She is the mother of four children. Mary, welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, I won't say who, but two of the three of you are brand new to Beneath the Surface tonight. One of you wonderful ladies has been here before. All right.
One of us is not like the
others. You got little giggles when you from all the people when you said that.
One of you is not like the others. All right, so... let's get started with this very, it could be a very intriguing, very entertaining Beneath the Surface tonight. It's a little different than most of our shows, as my listeners would vouch. But who knows where this will go. So let us begin. Here's my first question. I'll just start the conversation off here, and we'll see where this takes us. I want you to picture this, okay? Use your imagination. When you three... were little girls. And was your dream or vision of adulthood the same or different than it is being lived today?
Wow. Yeah.
I can answer first.
Okay, please do.
Yes.
Mary.
Very different.
Very different.
Very different.
Let's compare them. What is the difference? What was it back then, if you can put yourself back then?
Back then, when I was a little girl, I think I had the image of fairy tale relationship, getting married, living happily ever after, having children. I have part of that lifestyle now, just not all of it. I have the children. I just don't have the happily ever after that I was looking for.
Yeah, the happily ever after is not there. Eventually, I want to get into that with you as to why it isn't there. But so right now, you are living a sort of... Are you looking for another kind of happily ever after? Or does happily ever afters only occur once in one's lifetime?
No, I think right now it's just a cutoff for a while. Just kind of, you know, we'll get back there, but...
Okay.
Some
kind of a respite.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Teresa.
Yes.
How would you answer that question?
Well, I think that I tend to live in the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever, growing up as a little girl, had any image of getting married, having kids. I just sort of expected it, but I always just kind of went happy-go-lucky through life.
Okay.
So I don't think there's a huge difference between what I thought and what I'm living right now. Of course, I would love to have, you know, the love of my life and marriage and kids. But I don't really look back and say I'm not living the life that I thought I would.
So in other words, you're not living a disappointment right now.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All
That's
right.
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Laurie, how would you answer that?
Well, I would say I'm definitely not today where I thought I was going to be as a little girl. I always thought you had to be married by 24. And
wait. Not 23 or 25?
No. 24 was the perfect age to get married then just start having children and the whole thing. You know, and then as life went on, I was like, why is it not happening? Everybody in my family thought I was going to be the first to be married, and I'm still not. and every New Year's Eve, from the time I was probably 30, I kept thinking, maybe next year.
With every New Year's
going.
Eve, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm still doing that. Maybe next year. Yeah. Maybe this year I'll stop saying that, and then maybe it'll happen.
That's a good point because
by the way, while you guys talk, I just want to say your first name so that people in the audience know who's actually speaking. All right, Teresa, continue. So just ignore me when I say your name.
Oh, okay. All right. So from 19 until I think I was about 27 or 8, I was with the same guy, and he and I kept saying the same thing. Next year we'll get married. Next year we'll get married. So it kind of, life sort of passed by. And I guess I always expected maybe next year, kind of like what you're saying. And then, boom.
Well, actually, Laurie was saying next year we'll meet the guy to get married. And you're saying next year the guy that I've already met we will marry.
Right.
With neither one of you that actually occurred.
No.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Now, it's funny how I mentioned that question. You know, how did you see yourself and what might you be missing today? The first thing that comes to all three of your minds, and tell me if this is female nature or not, is that notion of the love of your life, of marriage, of children. Now, we live in the 21st century, and a lot of the listeners here are hiding or ignoring or perhaps avoiding a reality that is being hidden today about women's nature. Am I wrong?
Somebody jump in. I don't have an answer for this.
Wait.
No, in other words, everybody is being taught that there are more important things in life. Women have been taught for the past three or four decades that a career is just as important, if not more so, than a spouse and children. Do you buy any of that?
No. I do. You don't?
No, but that's a good difference between us because you're always telling me that I'm afraid to be alone, and I think that's interesting.
Laurie says that about you, Teresa.
Yes, and so that I think it shows the difference between our answer just there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I feel like Teresa always needs to have sort of that counterpart in her life where I am very happy being alone with or without my cat, by the way. I just want to point that out. She thinks if she had a cat to go home to, she might not need a guy
or a dog.
But yes, I definitely feel like this world today has put marriage 100% on the back burner. I don't think this world understands marriage the way that marriage was meant to be understood. It's got a whole different definition today.
Now, when I said look back when you were a child and look forward to your adulthood, was marriage defined by the culture differently back then than it is now?
I think so. Do you guys?
Yes, I think so.
Mary?
Yes, yeah. And now having been divorced and been divorced 5 years, I think people are surprised, and I often get questioned as to why I haven't remarried. Like, that's sort of the standard in life now, is that it's been 5 years, it's time to move on and marry somebody.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know that that was a standard.
Oh, all the time.
Like, okay.
Something
it's the 5 year
must
mark.
Be wrong that I haven't remarried.
Okay.
I actually have a different stance on it. Not that I wouldn't like to be with somebody, but I see marriage very differently now after living it. And it's not a goal of mine anymore to be married.
Hmm.
Just maybe to be in a relationship, but not necessarily marriage anymore. So that vision that I had as a child of being married and that fairy tale.
Right.
Fairy tale now isn't necessarily marriage. It's just companionship with the right person.
Are you okay with that?
I am okay with that.
Are you two still looking for that, that vision of what you have been looking for decades? Are you still looking for that vision, that one and only happily ever after?
Yes. I think...
Teresa.
Because I've had two long-term relationships that... Both times we never, it was sort of always, not casual, but we didn't say, well, we have to get married right away. I think now I am saying if I meet that person, I actually want to feel so strongly about it that I want to commit and get married, and I think that would be great.
Yeah. Now, you didn't feel that before now?
I did, maybe because I was younger and I thought, well, next year.
Yeah.
And maybe now because I'm 40 or older, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I don't.
Laurie.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel differently today than I used to. And part of it is my faith. In fact, everything of it is my faith.
Okay.
And that's 100% my Catholic faith, because I always thought to be complete, I needed to have that second half of a physical being in my life, but my life has taken a different direction in the past few years. Well, actually, I've always been a faithful Catholic, but I've been bringing God into my life a lot more through more prayer and more reading and just more of God and understanding. I think I just understand Him more. Or her. I mean, you know, God is a being, right? Like, he's not a her. His son came down as a man, but is God a he? Am I changing the subject?
Well, actually, it's a theological question, which can be quickly answered. But
okay, quickly answer it.
God has God, at least in the Judeo-Christian tradition, God does not have a physical sex.
Right, He's a being.
So God is being. He's eternal being, but because of His relationship with His creation. He is Father because He is creator and sustainer of all life. So we see Him as Father, and hence we use the masculine pronoun.
Okay, that's
Father.
A good answer. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, I told you he was an encyclopedia.
not even close, but thank you.
But when I have God in my life and I feel His presence more now ever than in my life in the past, I feel complete. And I feel I would love to have that person in my life. I have experienced what I feel was real love once in my life. However, that relationship didn't work out for me, or for him, obviously. But And I would love that again because it's a good feeling. I saw what my parents had, and that was beautiful.
Can you say something is, and I'm going to put it in quotes, real love if it ends?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that's
Mary, you want to answer
question.
It then?
Or well, so? Because I would have said that I had real love at one point in time. But looking back, I'm not so sure that that was the case. So that's really interesting. I feel like if it was real love, it would not have ended.
Or
it would have come back again.
So without going into detail, some marriages break because one marriage is break because there's, something, maybe infidelity or maybe abuse or, there are many, many bad reasons why marriages end. And so, you can look back and say, well, maybe it wasn't good for one of those reasons, and it wasn't love all along. But is that what defines it from the start, or does it change along the way?
I think that you could say that it's true love from maybe one person's perspective and not necessarily speak for the other person. So although I may have thought that I had found true love, maybe the other person had not, and that's kind of what ended it. Otherwise, I don't think that if it was really true, I don't think that it does end. I think those people are the ones that figure out how to stay together and make it work.
We need to take a break. This is an intriguing question. On the other side of this break, we'll delve a little bit more into what is love, and we will also maybe talk about what is marriage and if divorce is possible. Yes, you heard me. If divorce is actually possible in certain kinds of marriages. You're listening to Beneath the Surface. I'm Paul Morano. Our topic tonight, single women in a secular world. We will be right back. Don't go away. And we're back. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. I think I forgot to give the phone number last segment, believe it or not. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to add your 2 cents or ask a question to our three ladies tonight, 978-454-4980. And just for your memory's sake, I'll say it one more time, 978-454-4980 here at BTS Radio. So, our topic tonight on Beneath the Surface is single women in a secular world. And just to quickly reintroduce my guests, we have to my left, going from my left to right, is Laurie, Teresa, and Mary. And they all have different stories. They all are in different places in life. They all have different levels of faith. And they all have the commonality of being over 40, women, and single. Do I get that right, ladies?
You are right, as always.
I'm a man, aren't I? All right. So, since you three consider yourself single, I would imagine there might be some kind of dating situation going on in life, no?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yes, no.
Okay, two yeses and a no. Very interesting answers. How about one of the yeses first?
Well,
Teresa.
So I've had my long-term relationships and then kind of got out last year.
Wait. Can I just ask a question? I like to go beneath the surface on these things. What is a long-term relationship? Give me like a 2-sentence definition of what that means.
You're actually committed to each other. You have.
What does that mean, committed?
You have decided you are just dating each other.
For how long? Until you lose interest?
No. Like, you actually feel like you're going to be together forever.
You feel like it.
So
it's based on feelings.
You talk about marriage. May not happen, okay. But you talk about it.
So there's some hope of marriage between two people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is what. And how long is this term to make it long term?
Personally, or in my opinion?
In your opinion. What do people mean by long-term?
5 years.
Okay. So people together for 3 years are not in a long-term relationship. Is that, do I get that right?
No, I do think it's variable. It's subjective.
All right. So it's a silly term. But anyway, let's continue. So you were in one of these long-term relationships and?
Oh, so last year I was finally at a point. Strangely enough, I think I've always been dating somebody since first year of college.
Sheesh, you can't be alone.
I know.
Now, when you say dating somebody, that's different than relationshiping someone. Is that correct?
Oh, well, okay. So first year of college through the age of 27, I was dating the same person.
Ah.
And then I had maybe a year where I was just kind of seeing different people. And then I had 7 years of the same person.
A different person than the first same person.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And when you say seeing people, that means what? It doesn't mean looking at them.
Right. So it means probably a date, one or two dates.
And then it didn't work out.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So then that has been your relationship or dating story.
Yes.
All right. So what was the original question, by the way, before I started interrogating you?
You're
how
asking
long,
yeah.
about how long well, is long?
No, it was before that.
Oh. So those of us who are dating
yeah.
right now.
Oh, yeah.
How is it? How's it going?
You assume they must be dating.
Yeah. So you're not... you don't have somebody right now in your life.
Yes and no.
So is that what people mean by it's complicated?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. How does one yes and no this?
I think because, and Mary and I were talking about this the other day, just in terms of being very picky. So I think I'm seeing somebody right now. We're both very picky. I think I'm not sure if I'm what he wants, and I'm not sure if he's what I want.
Yeah. Well, isn't that usually the case before one makes a permanent commitment?
I guess so, yes. And I think Lori could be right. Maybe I'm just seeing this person because I don't like being alone. I say it's because I like this person. But there's still...
She knows herself.
The verdict is still out there. I do like the person a lot, though.
Well, you had mentioned earlier that, by the way, we're speaking with Teresa now. You mentioned earlier that at this time in your life, you want to find somebody to marry. This person that you're, and I'll use your terminology because I find modern terminology very interesting. This person that you're seeing now, are you hoping that this will turn into marriage?
Good question. Listening.
No, okay, I tell you what. If this person is listening, you don't even have to answer this. But
no, so I did mention to him that I was going to be on some radio station in Lowell. I kind of doubt he was able to figure that out. Not that he's not smart, but
all right. So he's not listening. So
he's not listening.
And nobody will tell him.
So yeah. So right. I mean, just putting it all out there. I like him. So actually, to and I don't want to take up too much time.
That's all right.
But
you're doing great.
So. I know that he's still on a dating site, and I...
Okay, all right. He hasn't taken himself off.
And he hasn't taken himself off. And we've had a conversation before, and we were kind of just friends, where he's just curious about who's out there. And so when we kind of started seeing each other again, and I saw he was still on there, I'm like, I think he's kind of waiting for someone better to come along.
Yes.
And so then I was like, well, I'm going to go back out there, too. And
as they say, you are Miss Right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to be Miss Right now. So I went back on the dating site, but there is nobody out there that I see that is anywhere near as interesting as he is. And so I'm kind of like, I do like him a lot.
All right, so you're walking through this together with your eyes wide open for other people, but you're kind of hoping that it settles down into just you two, perhaps.
Yes.
Unless somebody better comes along.
I don't think anyone better will, and that's possibly sad, but it could be happy. I don't know.
We can go in so many directions with this.
I think we should move on to Mary.
Yeah. I'm very, very tempted to ask you what better means for you, but should I?
Oh, ask, please.
What does better mean for you? Somebody better.
Well, like Mary was saying before, and even in Lori, too, about... You've had that feeling of true love, and we kind of were talking about the definition of true love. I've had that feeling before, and yes, it didn't last, but I know what that feels like. And I don't know if I feel that right now.
Do you see what you're doing? Or do you two ladies see what she's doing? She is basing her life on feelings.
I didn't see that.
You are seeking the same feeling you had before, which, by the way, did not last.
Are you sure that you should be basing your life on feelings? But it's not just feelings. I know that with that person, like, we could be in a room with absolutely no TV, no distractions, just together and totally happy.
Okay.
And I don't know if I feel that right now, but it is more than just a feeling. It's an objective truth.
An objective truth that did not last. Okay.
Maybe because he was slightly crazy.
Okay. You other two ladies want to jump in with anything?
I'll quickly jump in.
Laurie.
For me, a long-term relationship is 4 months and one day. and because
okay.
everybody I date, if it goes beyond 4 months, it pretty much lasts a long time, like 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Ah, so if it makes the four-month mark, it's definitely 2 or 3 years, but it doesn't go any further than that.
But
or it hasn't anyway.
But I've been in so many relationships that have broken up at the four-month mark.
Yeah.
And so that to me says something, like what happens at 4 months? There's a level of
the excitement begins to wear.
Well, I wouldn't even say that, but I think it's a female thing to some extent, not to sound sexist towards
myself.
But
by the way, we're very politically incorrect here, so don't worry about that.
Good. Then this works. But I think that there's a level of expectation of what is supposed to happen next that may not be happening in the female's mind. Why isn't he offering me more? Why isn't he, you know, committing to me more? Why isn't he looking to the future more?
Yeah.
You know.
Do you ladies feel that men use you? And I don't necessarily mean abuse you, but sort of use you. Does that come in? Use you for spending time until something, like Teresa was sort of getting at, something else comes along, or until they're, you know, it seems like there are a lot of men today that have this unrealistic picture of the woman that they want, and it, of course, it's very much conditioned by our over-sexualized culture. That through the media particularly shows us only these model like beauties, and if they don't have one of those, they're always looking for somebody else. Do I have that right?
Well, I just want to speak to that for a second. Yeah, I think that there's definitely a stigma of women over 40 that if we are single, then we're desperate, and to be able to get a date for us would just be a huge accomplishment. And I think that a lot of men see that as, you know,
an invitation to use you.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So then, yes, I definitely think so. So then it's all in how you, you know, handle that and respond to that. But I definitely think that.
Is that what you feel? Is that what you feel when somebody is showing interest in you? That
Laurie.
No, that's not what I feel necessarily towards me. I've just seen it and witnessed it. And I think that. Especially if it's a younger man approaching a woman over 40.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it's more of a, because they see you as single and that nobody's as interested in you as they would be in somebody a little bit younger.
Interesting.
Yes.
I am on a stupid single site.
Yes. You know, I was going to ask that later.
One of the stupid free ones.
Yes, one of the stupid
And
free
I will
ones.
Tell you that I am approached by 23-year-old boys.
Yes.
You know, who are just like, you know, oh, you're so beautiful, or, you know, stupid. They say stupid things. And I immediately block them and delete them.
because they think it's what you want to hear.
Because they think it's what you want. And sometimes I write back things I shouldn't, like you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say pig.
You pig.
Yeah, you can say.
And then I block them and delete them. But I personally, you know, there's always going to be that. I actually really think there's always going to be that out there, because there's just that class of people that's, you know. But for me, I don't feel that way. What I feel is I am being approached a lot by people who are now divorced, and I liked them maybe when I was in high school, or they knew I liked them, you know, before, and now their relationship didn't work out, but they know I'm still single. They still want me because I'm this single person who never got married. I don't have any baggage. I'm, you know, free and clear. Maybe I own a house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they look at me like a desperate 40-ish year old person. I think they look at me like, wow, she's got her life together. Because, well, that's how I feel about myself. So
Very interesting.
I'm thinking that they might look at me like that, but I don't know.
Well, that's the difference, though. I should say, for between you and me, I think that people see me as, yes, divorced with four children, and that I am looking for somebody, and so I'll take whatever I can get to help me through life.
And maybe it is different for a divorced woman with kids versus a single or even divorced person without children.
I think that you present more as independent than I would present to somebody with four children. And I think that that's the difference. So I was really sort of speaking, you know, more about
you.
Yeah, more about me.
So do either one of you two, we heard about Teresa's love life. Do either one of you two see anybody or date or any of that now?
I don't date. I'm Laurie, and I don't date.
I was going to say your name for our radio audience.
Just helping.
Yes, very good. Thank you for the help.
Honestly, I don't think I've had a date in 5 years, and I've been asked out, definitely asked out a lot, but I'm very happy. And the reason I say no to these people is because they just don't bring me that magical sense of wow and wonder. And I am not talking about, wow, he's so handsome, or wow, he's so successful, or wow, he's got a nice car, or wow, he's got a nice house or clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, for me, it has to be someone who really loves God. But he has to be kind of handsome, too. All right? I mean,
wait a minute.
A little handsome?
Just between you, me, and the lamppost, I sort of know you before this show.
Oh.
And I also know that you need a musician, don't you?
No.
Come on. Of course you do.
No. I've dated a lot of musicians, and I would again, but they would have to be, they would have to encompass that God, they would have to encompass or have God in
a religiosity that matches yours,
or somewhat matches mine. It doesn't have to match mine, but they have to respect God and me and life and people in general. But they mostly have to respect me. And we were talking a little bit about this earlier. You know, there aren't men, in my opinion, who show enough interest in the person who they're with. How often do you ask questions really about yourself? We were talking here during the break, and we're like, wow, you know, Teresa was, I feel famous because people, you know, we're being asked questions about ourselves. And I agree. It's not very often that people show an interest.
Wow. So then you folks can't hear this, but the music is coming on, so we need to take a break soon. I do want to ask you after the break if, if you notice a dearth in respect from men today, because I don't know if men even know how to give respect anymore, because of the blurring of the lines between men and women, the masculine and the feminine. And I do want to ask you that question, too, about whether you see that there is a problem with men being men, and maybe we can talk about what that means. You're listening to Beneath the Surface. Tonight, we're here until 11 o'clock. My guests are Laurie, Teresa, and Mary, single women in a secular world. Don't go away. We still have another segment to go. Be right back. And we're back. 978-454-4980 is our BTS hotline. If you want to get involved in our conversation or ask our wonderful ladies any questions or comments, it's 978-454-4980. Yes, the guy behind the glasses, he is on Cindy's Vinyl Vault, the next show at 11 o'clock. Oh,
he's
look.
Single.
Oh, he doesn't have a wedding ring on. Oh,
why isn't he wearing it?
Oh, but he's saying something. He broke something. He broke the ring. Oh, it's all broken. Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe Peter can explain that later on Cindy's Vinyl Vault at 11 o'clock. Don't miss it. All right. So, again, 978-454-4980 is our Beneath the Surface hotline. We're talking with three wonderful women over 40, and they are single, and that's what they have in common. Everything else is a little different. Laurie, Teresa, and Mary. Now, before the break, we were talking about this notion of dating and relationships and all that crazy nonsense. Respect. Are you seeing that men do not respect women today in general?
Absolutely.
You do?
No.
Yes.
Okay, Laurie says, yes, you're seeing that. Teresa says, no, you're not seeing that. And Mary, what are you seeing?
Yes, I definitely think there's a level of disrespect.
A level of disrespect for women in general?
Yes.
Okay. How does that manifest itself?
As we were sort of speaking during the break, I said I prefer a man that's still a gentleman and will open a door, a car door for a woman. Hmm. A door when you're walking into a restaurant, that doesn't necessarily happen anymore. And as we were speaking on dating sites, there are plenty of guys that will say on there, I could open a door for you, but you are you're just as capable of doing it for yourself as I am doing it for you.
Yeah.
And something like that is a complete turn off to me. I think.
Yeah. See, we live in post women's lib America where it's really confusing now as to how the sexes are meant to treat each other and these kinds of things. Chivalry, with many people, it's lost because the sexes are meant to be the same. And it's even gotten so crazy lately, as you folks know, that people are very confused about their own sex. And so these bathroom bills and so on and so forth we live in a very, very confused time. But Mary, you would not be insulted or offended if somebody opened a door for you.
Absolutely not. I would respect them that much more. I think they were more of a gentleman if they did that.
What makes other than opening a door, what makes a gentleman a gentleman, or a man a gentleman?
So again, as we were saying, even just on the first date, swearing.
That makes a person a gentleman?
Not swearing on the first date. Yeah, if you start, you know, using profanity, foul language on a first date, I think that that's a little disrespectful.
But it's not okay on a second date?
I don't want to put a time frame on it. I realize everybody swears, or I shouldn't say everybody, but the majority of people do. But on a first date, if that's what comes out, I do feel like that's a little bit disrespectful because they're not quite sure how you feel about that.
Okay, so a first swear, not on a first date. How about a kiss? Where does that come in?
A kiss on the cheek.
All right. When does that... Yeah. Is that okay for a first date?
At the end of the night, a hug, a kiss on the cheek.
At the end of a first date, that is kosher.
That, to me, is fine. Yes.
You two agree?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
A hug, and a little peck on the cheek.
A little peck? Okay, like a bird? All right.
Yeah, well, as long as they don't bite.
As long as they don't bite, yeah. And the biting is not good on a first date. No.
Not on the first date. No.
All right, so when does a guy begin to get fresh? Does that happen nowadays in today's...
What do you mean by fresh?
In today's pornified society?
Oh. Like expect physical?
Like more than kissing. Is that a problem?
I'm sure that happens very early on. Like
there
on
are plenty of guys that expect that on the first date, especially if they pay.
Especially if they pay.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So, in other words, they're treating you like a prostitute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And this is not uncommon today. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon in your experience.
No. I don't think it's a difference in time. I don't think it's today versus yesterday. I think it's just certain guys. So I think 50 years ago, that same guy would be act the same way as they would today.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Generally speaking, I don't agree with that. But that's just my opinion. I think that the sexual revolution has opened up behaviors in a way that were absolutely seen as unacceptable in other days.
Definitely. I think, the world, television, the movies, just culture, music has exposed and made, quote, in big thick quotes, okay in this world,
yes,
has gotten into the blood and veins of people, yeah, men and women.
Right.
And it's expected. Right. You look at your high school kids today. Look at your, I'm sure, your elementary, or what's the one in between? Middle school,
yeah.
Kids today.
Yeah.
And what's going on there.
Yeah, no, it's all a mess. But how, do you three, can you see above this? Can you rise above your culture to judge this as being wrong? No?
Dead radio is not good.
I mean, do you judge this at all, or do you just say it's a sign of the times, we have to go with it?
Well, I mean, maybe that's the thing. The guys that I like are not affected by...
Actually, you're a little loud, believe it or not. Yeah, you're the only one that's too loud. All right, go ahead. Teresa.
I think the guys that I'm attracted to are not affected by culture or what they're seeing around them. Right. They are just themselves. And so that's why I think I said before that a guy today would do the same thing he would 50 years ago, because that's the kind of guy I like. Like, they, if they want to open the door for a woman, they're, yeah, not going to be affected by the thought that, well, I shouldn't do it because I want to make her feel capable. They'll just do it.
Yeah, but do you meet many people, and I think Laurie's the only one that'll be able to appreciate this question, I think. Do you meet many guys who believe that sexual relations are for the consummation of marriage only?
I don't think I've ever met any.
You've never met any? No. Mary, okay.
No, I can't say honestly that I've ever.
Okay, met so anybody. You've never met any men who put sex, marriage, and baby making or family as a unified whole. You've met them that split those things up.
Absolutely, and I went from kindergarten through grade 12 in Catholic school. I was raised as a Catholic. I've never.
That's
met anybody.
A very, very sad commentary on our day and age today. And you two want to comment on that?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I just I have definitely met men like that.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, but I will be honest with you that most of the men I've met like that, I haven't been interested in.
Okay. All right.
Yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to meet somebody like that, but I just haven't. So,
but you, then,
I know that men exist like that.
Then you believe that these are three dimensions of one whole that shouldn't be split apart.
Yes.
Okay. That's your understanding of what this whole thing, love and marriage thing is, and
yes,
family. Okay.
Yes.
And so then you see that our day and age, the past 30, 40 years, has gone totally astray when it comes to this.
Definitely. It's unwound. I mean, you know, sex is a gift. The feeling of it, it's all a gift, and it's meant to be in love and marriage.
Then knowing that you live in this endarkened age when it comes to relationships, does this depress you or give you little hope in finding this?
In
finding this kind of person who understands marriage, yeah, and love.
Yeah, especially the older you get, this, you know, it just gets less and less. There are less fish in the sea, as they say, who you know, hold those ideals. I have little hope for finding that person. But I'm okay with that because I have complete and total faith that it will happen if it's meant to.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Want to get back to that question that we had earlier in the show. Is divorce possible? Now, we have one divorced lady here. And I asked the question in this context because I know that all three of you told me before the show that you're Catholic. But all three of you have what we might say, we might all agree with, maybe perhaps different levels of faith. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All three of you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Different,
yes,
understandings and different levels of faith. The church teaches that marriage by its very nature is indissoluble, which means that it cannot be broken if it's a valid marriage. Does this... I guess I should go to Mary on this one, since you two have not been married yet. Have you considered this at all?
No. And okay. I do feel like it's sad to say that, but I have seen and grown up with divorce around me for my entire life. So yeah, it's always sort of been a given you know, you don't want it to happen, but it's there as an option. That, should it come to that?
Wow. So you have been conditioned all your life that divorce is an option should it come to that, and then you move on to somebody else.
Yes.
Is that how that? Wow.
Yes.
And the fact that Christ came, I don't want to get too religious for you, but the fact that Christ came into the world and taught this, what is considered by the church, infallible truth, that is something that you don't think about that much? Is that how that?
No, and, you know,
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just trying to get beneath the surface here.
Right. No, and, you know, we did think about that, and it was, like I said, a last resort. However, I do think that you can get to a point that, you know, like they say, once you, you know, shatter a glass, try to put it back together again, it doesn't work. It's not going to work no matter what you do. So you...
What about with God's help? I mean, you can't do it alone.
Right.
But what about with supernatural help?
But only one of us went to church.
Yeah.
So, you know, that being me. So if you don't have two people that, you know, kind of have that same faith, then you can't really.
Have you considered partitioning for an annulment?
I did, and I will be 100% honest with you. The only reason why I will not do it is because I want to have the same last name as my children. Well, I feel like if I had to go back to my maiden name, that we would lose that bond, and they also feel that as well.
It's off the top of my head, I don't think you have to change your name if you get an annulment. Legally, see, the legal stuff and the spiritual stuff are actually distinct from each other. So you can, if you wanted to, you could keep that as your legal name and then still seek an... All annulment says is it goes into the marriage and it uncovers things so that the church can declare whether or not it was an actually a valid marriage in the first place. If they say they have discovered that it actually is not a valid marriage, you can still keep your legally married name, as far as I know.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true, too.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But I feel like there was, you know, a point of it being valid only because we have children together.
Well, I tell you what. You know, this is a whole nother show, but I'll just say it. Try to say it in 10 seconds. What the church looks for when it judges validity is whether the essentials were there in both parties at the time of the wedding. And the essentials of what, in other words, what they're saying I do to, whether they fully 100% believed it and willed it. If somebody walks down the aisle and says, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll just get a divorce. If they're willing that in their mind, even if it's the back of their mind, the marriage might not be valid because they're not saying yes or I do to the essential components of marriage, one of which is permanence. The other is openness to children, and the other one is fidelity. So if it can be uncovered through various means that one, at least one of the parties was not fully on board there in the essentials of marriage, then it's not a valid marriage. And one can be free to marry.
But those children are still made of God's love, and those children are valid.
Oh, of course. The children are always valid, regardless of how they're created. Even children from rape are as valid.
Absolutely.
And loved by God as any children.
That's right.
But that's another show. Thank you very much for the entertainment and the serious parts of tonight. Single Women in a Secular World, I wish you all luck and God's blessings as possible. Any final word, any of you?
Boo, it's over.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Okay, maybe we'll do a part two one of these days. Thank you, everybody, for listening. A different but an interesting Beneath the Surface tonight. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel, here on WCAP. I'm Paul Morano. Have a good week, everybody.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford,
find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.